a great experience. I didn't expect to, I mean, I didn't go with the thought of being blessed the way God touched my heart, but, you know, I went, and actually it had something to do with the teaching that Jeff did one night on Wednesday night, and he talked about doing things just because you love Dad, not because you want anything from him. It's just because you love him. And it was a study we were doing on the prodigal God. And so I kind of wrestled with going at first. And then when the building part came up, I resolved my mind that God had called me to go. And that was my only motive. But it was neat that the Lord did some really neat things in all of our lives. Our team was awesome. We had a great team of folks. We got hit with a bunch of bombshells the first couple days, and we hooked up and rallied together. And from that time on, we were a fighting machine. And just stay out of our way, because you're not going to stop us from doing what God wants us to do. And we hung together, and there was no little bickering between, none of the stuff that can happen in a small group. So I was really excited to be with the folks that I was with. And Tabitha, in that house right there, right in this corner over behind her, was a little funky little bed that she would have the kids sleep on in shifts, two at a time, and cover them, because she couldn't keep the rain and the water out of the house. So she had seven children, and then they would sleep in shifts, and then the other ones would just sit in the little chairs there. But what was neat, I don't know if you can tell from the picture, inside there she had four little chairs and a little coffee table. They moved them out into the house that night after we got this part of it done, and they all sat out there and had their meal that night. And she said the kids slept in there with the blankets that they were given, and they were so excited about this home. She had four chickens when we got there. She's only got one or two now. She would make us a meal every day. And she would kill a chicken, and she would make this stuff called ungali, which is like cornbread. It's a white type of cornbread, and it's probably like us with French bread. It's their number one meal. They kind of serve, that's what they want to have every night. And I mean, she had nothing, and she would serve us each day, and we'd tell her, hey, you know what, why don't you save it for your family? And our driver, who was also would translate for us, told us, no, she's going to give you her very, very best every day. Whatever she can supply that is the best meal she can make for you, that's what she's going to bring you. And the last day we were there, she couldn't make us anything, and she was really ashamed. And I said, well, how are you going to feed your kids tonight? And she goes, God will provide for us. The Lord will provide. And that's the kind of faith that she had to walk by. And I was sharing with some friends, for me to walk by faith, there's a lot of sight involved. It's not as hard for me to walk by faith. I have a lot of, kind of like what was being taught this morning, I see a lot of things in front of me, but for most of these folks, one day at a time, they really don't know how God is going to provide for them the next day. Even Pastor Boaz that you saw in the beginning, he didn't want an orphanage, but now he's got 30 kids living in his little house. And he told us, in my home, if one tastes meat, then we all taste meat. Whatever we have, we all taste, or we have nothing at all. And he said it was just how important it was for these guys to provide not just for the physical needs of the children, but the emotional and spiritual needs. He says, in our orphanage, I am Papa, and this is Mom, his wife is Mom, you know, to all these kids. So they really, and you see all these little kids hanging on him and stuff, and they just, the pastors there had the neatest hearts. Joseph was kind of our go-to guy. The little guy that was all, you know, he was just wiry. He's all, every day I'd go, what are you doing today, Joseph? Well, we will go to the hardware store, and then we will go out to Eunice's, and then we will get the stuff delivered to Tabitha's, and then I have to drive so-and-so here. And he just goes on and on, and but he kept things rolling. He was just a treat. And So every morning I'd grab him and give him a bear hug and lift him off the ground so his feet would go like this. But he took us out to a piece of property that his grandfather gave to him And it was probably close to an acre. And he's got a little car that he drives around that he uses as a taxi. That's how he makes his money when he's not pastoring. He just gets a little percentage of the money. And me and him and James went out to this piece of property. And he had already built the bathrooms, and because he wants to have a orphanage out there. And he showed us how it's all fenced off for the cattle and the goats. He goes, yes, if I have enough money, I buy a post and bring it home and put one post in the ground. He goes, and now look, I have a whole fence, you know. And that's just how the guy thinks. And he goes, and eventually I want an orphanage for 30 kids, you know. And it was just neat. And he had a feeding program at his church, and they fed the kids on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I said, well, how come Monday, Wednesday, Friday? He goes, well, then I know they're only hungry on Tuesday and Thursday. And the kind of things that were important to him was rain gutters so that they could get rainwater. It was a gas-powered machine that actually makes cornmeal so that they could feed more kids and make more food. Everything that these guys ever talked about, they never asked us for anything. Everything that they ever talked about was how to take care of the folks. I mean, these guys really, really lay their life down. And so one day, I'm sitting right over here, and Tabitha's sitting in a little chair right about where you see her and James, and her kids are playing in the dirt. And we're maybe at about this stage of the house, and all of a sudden I hear this just really nice, like childlike voice. And she's sitting there singing a song about how mighty her God is. And I could make out the words, and I was telling some folks yesterday, it was as if everything else around her had stopped, and it was just her and her God, and that was it. She wasn't singing for anybody. It was just about her and him. It was really just a really neat time. And she's been living in that over 2 years like that. So to have this house with this roof, and it's actually two rooms, and then we put concrete floors in them, that's a straight mansion to have a concrete floor. Everywhere we went was dirt floors. And so that was just, and when you saw her, they had just blessed the home, and she was just thanking God for this mansion that God brought to her that she'd been asking for. And that was just a really wonderful time. The people are beautiful. The kids are beautiful. They always greet you. Everybody, I think me and somebody said, we're going to try walking around Sacramento going, hello, my friend, to everybody. See how long they leave us on the street. Hello, may I greet you? My family would like to greet you. You know, because they would come up, shake, they go, may my family greet you. And I would go wandering during the day. I would just like disappear when we were time to, and I would go walk around, and every house I walked up to, hello, come into my house. We want you to come in and greet you. And I'd be sitting, who knows whose house I'd be in, just kicking back. And then they'd always try to feed you some rice or something. And I thought, man, how am I going to explain gaining all this weight? Everybody thinks we're going to come back a little thinner than we left. And that's just it's kind of the way it is. So it was neat. To see the things that God did. We went there with some specific things in mind. God had some other specific things in mind. I had a little saying in our group, everything's plan B, and they would go, what's plan A? I go, we'll find out tonight when we get back what plan A was. Because we'd have all these great plans in the morning, but they were always plan B, and plan A was always what God had planned for us that day. And, you know, so that was kind of neat. It's neat. God did some really neat things as far as this kind of stuff goes. Joseph, the pastor, used to work for a big construction firm. And he told me, they used to tell him about God. Ah, they tell me about this Jesus. I don't, you know, Jesus, I make lots of money. Then until he woke up, passed out drunk in his office with my dismissal papers. He goes, huh, maybe I need to meet this Jesus. And so he starts asking his friends, and now he's a pastor, and the area that his church is in, where Tabitha lives, was actually a part of a culture called the Legend, which they believe in a different Jesus, and it's occultic in nature. And he was at some people's house one time talking about Christ, and they were dancing and singing, and he said he saw a head in the little window, and he thought it was the police. He goes, I think that's the police. And the guy opens the door, and he goes, hey, I know you. He goes, yes, I know you too. He goes, and the guy got saved. He goes, I want my wife to get saved. And they drove up to his wife's house. He goes, I want my police chief to get saved. And they went to the police chief. And where their church is built, where Joseph's church is property that was owned by, like, the high priest of the Legend. And he is now a Christian. He tore down his building, donated the land to Joseph to put his church on. And that's where the feeding program goes. But where I was getting at with Joseph is, now, if I wanted to have a house built for one of the widows there, I don't have to spend $2,500 to go back. God has arranged a situation for us with the pastors and with the builders that I could actually, for what it cost me to go back, I was telling Jeff and see, I could build four homes, you know, and we can just, and these guys are so trustworthy with the funds. It's just like, oh, here, Joseph, here's the money to get your floor put in your church, or here's this for this, or here's, and it doesn't require my going there. So God placed some things in order for us to still accomplish some really neat things back there without us having to go there to actually see the money go straight to a building project or to rain gutters or you know, and Joseph can arrange it. We've got the workers lined up. We know who our workers are, the Fundies. And I don't know, it was just a really, really great time. The Lord did some really neat things. It's neat to see God do his thing. It was just really special. And I want to thank our church for praying for us and all of you guys that helped financially with folks and stuff. The last few nights we were there, it rained hard. And all I could think about is Tabitha's dry. Tabitha and her seven children are dry, and they're living in their new mansion. That a lot of people used to go, where's this God? How come you don't have your house built? And all of a sudden a bunch of white guys show up and build her a house. You know, took a couple years, but I told them, just the last thing, we were at church on Sunday morning at Joseph Church, and I wanted to thank her for being so kind to us, so I was just thanking her, and I said it got to where every time the white guys came walking down the road, the chickens would take off running. Oh, no! They're gone, boy. Somebody's day of reckoning has come. Anyway, so thank you guys. I want to thank the team and all you folks for that helped and prayed for us. It was God did some neat things. Your time was and money was well invested.